Hey, After Buzzers, scratch, coming up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right.
Always love this.
Scratch.
Oh, Mr. Scratch is back.
Yes, it's scary, isn't it?
Not a fan. Well, I am a fan. It's a conflicting feeling.
All right. Welcome, After Buzzers. We are here with Criminal Minds. Episode 9 are we now?
Seven.
Episode 7 of Criminal Minds. And it's a good one. It's absolutely a fascinating plot line. We're going to dive into it here. I'm Chris Howard. You can reach out to me at Chris Howard Live on both Twitter and Instagram. And over to my left is the one, the only,
Michelle Cullen. And you can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
There you go. So what'd you think overall of this episode?
Overall, I thought it was really cool that dissociative identity disorder came back so quickly. Because in the original, I think either the first or second episode, we talked about it.
Right.
And mentioned how we haven't seen it since season 8, I believe, was the last time it came up. And now it's come up twice in one season. So it's Mr. Scratch.
Multiple personalities are running around all over the place.
Mr. Scratch and his methods are crazy. And it's fascinating and terrifying to see how he's making that work.
Yeah, it's interesting, the targeting of that type of a personality, somebody who already has the propensity to, you know, go into a whole nother personality, a whole nother life.
And basically manufacture one.
Yeah, yeah. This was wild. This guy, okay, so we start off, we'll go back to the opening scene and talk about it a little bit. So in the beginning, and by the way, if you're wondering where the lovely Marissa is, we think she's in Canada, right?
She went wheels up to Canada.
Wheels up. What's that, the airplane language?
Yeah, that's the Hotch line that he always said.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Wheels up in 30.
Wheels up to Canada. Oh, yeah, whenever they take the FBI jet.
Jet.
Right. Do they have a special name for that? I know it's not like the, what's the president's plane? What do they call that?
Air Force One.
Air Force One. So they're,
no, I think this is just the jet.
Just the jet. Wheels up. Taking the jet.
Marissa's in Canada.
Marissa's in Canada. She went up there for an event.
Yeah.
That's all I know. Do you know more than that?
I do not know more than that, but I saw a picture she posted today and she looked very excited. So
did she?
I'm sure we'll hear about it when she gets
that's
back.
Fantastic. Very cool. So we're missing her here for the episode, but we've got it handled.
We got this.
We're all over this.
Yes.
Wheels up.
Yes.
All right. So opening scene, there's what was your feeling about that very opening scene?
I thought that was so great because I can't think back to a specific moment where that's been called into question before, but Garcia definitely gets excited to share information and she feels like this is...
Oh, you're talking about...
There
was this little teeny opening scene that they closed at the end, the loop where they were they came in on Gabriel and they're like, Gabriel, don't move. But keep going with that.
Opening.
That was just a little weird, you know, just a little teaser.
With the going in and out of focus.
Yeah.
You didn't know if it was drugs. You didn't know what was happening.
Right.
It was intense and it was just
And you didn't know what Gabriel... I didn't know what Gabriel was, did you?
Yeah, no.
Okay, yeah, because I think this is the first episode that we've seen the brother in, yeah?
Yeah, this is actually the first episode that we're getting any background on Tara.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very exciting.
You've been watching a lot longer than I have, so you... But very, very excited. It was actually a lot of good depth and good background on her.
Yeah.
So then you were saying Garcia, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I completely forgot that tiny
That's all right.
moment
a
happened. But
glitch
then,
of
yeah, Garcia is
terror.
So great. I love that.
She's awesome. I wish she was more in this episode, too. We didn't get to see much of her.
Yeah. I love that it's such a family that they placed bets.
On how long she'd hold the secret.
Yes.
Right. So she was given private information, which was that Dr. Tara was going to meet with her brother,
yes.
with Gabriel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she couldn't. And who won the bet? Did we?
Prentice won the bet.
Prentice won the bet?
Yep. It took her 12 hours to divulge the secret, and Prentice had guessed 11.
And the funny part was that Prentice was having a conversation with her and pretending like she didn't know anything about the information that was being divulged.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
That was.
Yeah. So Garcia gave it up that Tara's going out to meet with her brother. And then cut over to the coffee shop where Tara's waiting to meet with her brother. Guy sits down. What are your first thoughts?
Because it starts out that she is reacting, but we don't see who she's speaking to.
Right.
Or really hear
his
side.
Well, he's sitting there. It looks like...
It looks like it could be her brother,
yeah.
but her reaction is so off-putting.
Yeah, I didn't quite know what to make of that because it was like, Is she the one with the problem? Because you'd think she was the one with the problem because he's talking about their past, talking as if he knows her.
Yeah. And I lost where I was going with that. But yeah, it was a confusing moment where you didn't know if she was pranking him or she just completely forgot, or if he was pranking her, if it was something more sinister. You couldn't really tell in that moment.
That was the weird. That was the weird part about this episode. It just opened up so bizarrely that you didn't know where anything was going.
Yeah.
But really,
I agree
really,
completely.
Yeah, really strange. And so he's revealing all of this information. So the guy sits down, claims to be her brother, Gabriel, and starts revealing all this information from their private life, which appears to be real.
Yes.
Yeah. What were you thinking about that? What were you feeling? Like, where were your thoughts naturally going with that?
I was feeling like perhaps this man has taken Gabriel hostage and assumed his identity, but he was fully aware of what he was doing. I didn't think that it was a dissociative identity.
Who would have known, right?
Situation. Yeah.
But he seemed so convinced was the thing. It was like...
It was really off-putting.
Yeah, kind of. I think if I were the actor playing that role, you'd play it as if you really were Gabriel.
Oh, absolutely. And I think was the actor one. Did very, very well.
He really did. He was in it full on.
Yep. 110%.
I think you'd have to be like, you wouldn't even have to think you're the dissociative personality, that you've got this disorder. You'd have to really be playing the role full out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool. So then she arrests him.
Yes. That was an interesting reaction, but it's nice to have that power, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Like, I am confused, I am upset, and I am concerned, so you are under arrest
right. Until
we figure out what's going on.
So they take him in, they arrest him, and it was nice to see the entire team backing her and saying, if somebody's messing with you...
They're messing with all of
us. They're messing with all of us. It's kind of like us.
That family dynamic. Right? I love it so much.
Marissa's gone. We got her back.
Yes.
Yeah, just like that.
Just like that.
So she pulls the... and they said we got to look at them. Look at this guy who's impersonating her brother as an unsub. And we're going to deny him what he wants.
Yes, which was to talk to Tara.
To talk to Tara.
Yep.
It was such an interesting situation. And later on, it's going to be revealed that Mr. Scratch was behind this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think was the real intent behind having this guy come in here and pretend to be the brother?
The real intent behind Mr. Scratch's decision to have psychological torture.
Just to torture them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And potentially kill the real Gabriel.
Later on in the episode.
Later on in the episode.
Right. So you know a little bit more about Mr. Scratch than I do, since you've seen some of the other episodes. What's his? What's going on? Why is he after them? Why is he targeting them?
He was put away by the BAU.
Okay.
Back in, what did I say, season 10? Uh-huh. Season 10, episode 21 was when we met
Mr.
Scratch.
Yeah, you
said
that was the one we had to go back and watch, yeah.
Yes. He used psychological torture, drugs, and sage to induce memories in people that didn't happen. So they were, in that episode, they were convinced that someone, a monster that had long fingers that would scratch, killed their loved one or their parents, and really it was them having a psychotic break.
Now, was he a psychologist or something, or did he have some sort of a background?
I would have to watch that episode again. He's a very smart man. He's brilliant. He has a very high IQ, and he prefers to kind of be a puppeteer in the situation. So he manipulates the pawns to do his bidding.
And so to take it to the limit of implanting memories, I mean, that's serious.
Yeah, this is a newer, more extreme tactic that he's taken on. Before, it was him doing it directly.
Like he was picking the memories that I'm gonna induce that. Here, it's, I'm gonna take it out of your head and I'm gonna put it into your head.
Yeah. Exactly.
So they said that he used drugs to do that. That was part of what he used.
Yep. And we saw the gas mask going on Gabriel.
Right.
In this episode earlier this season.
Was it gas back in season 10 too? Was that similar?
It was similar. It went through the vents in the house.
Okay.
And now he's using a gas mask because he's remote. He's on the run. He was arrested. He's one of the most wanted killers. And he's already made it so Hotch had to go into witness protection.
Right.
And so now he's kind of systematically targeting the rest of the team.
Was Hotch targeted more than other people on the team?
Hotch was the one who caught him in season 10. He underwent psychosis from Mr. Scratch. Mr. Scratch
Hotch did.
blew the drug into his face, and he, you know, breathed it in, and then he was having
some sort of a psychotic
a
episode.
Trip. Yeah. He was having a bad trip.
Right.
And he was.
Yeah, that's the way to put it. Yeah.
And Mr. Scratch was feeding him memories and convincing him that his entire team was dead. Like, it was a crazy, crazy situation. And it's fascinating to see how he's doing it now.
Right.
With the team.
Yeah. What was interesting for me was when it comes, like, about midway through, and I'm jumping around a little bit here, but Luke says there's got to be some sort of overlap. He mentions that, you know, the Manchurian Candidate, when you look at brainwashing, that stuff hasn't worked traditionally in the way that people have wanted. But this guy, who they find out his name's Desmond later on, is so anchored into this personality, like, you can't shake him. And he said there must be some overlap between Desmond's story and Gabriel's story.
Yeah.
What do you think about this part?
I thought that made a lot of sense. It was a very smart, logical way to go, because that, I've said it before, and I think it's unfortunately common knowledge for most people. We tend to remember our negative memories better
than
the happy.
Yeah,
more than the happy memories. So having such a powerful negative moment in your life that would cause a psychotic break, especially, like, you cling to that and you recognize that in another situation.
Right.
And it's kind of a security blanket in a weird sense.
How do you think, was there any intent in Mr. Scratch to find this guy who did have such an overlap with Gabriel's story? Because, I mean, there were major commonalities. Mother was lost. The father was, you know, parading around with guns. Desmond, his story was that he was forced to play Russian roulette with his dad. The story of Gabriel was that his dad was getting drunk and parading guns around the house. That's a lot of similarities.
That's an interesting point to raise that wasn't really addressed. Did he just get lucky? Because we know he's tracking down people who have DID. He's tracking them down to utilize them for his master plans and manipulate them. But whether or not he was specifically searching for someone with such a similar background in order to target Tara directly.
I suppose he could have a list of them with all their issues and stuff. I'll take that one.
He's a genius with seemingly unlimited resources while on the run, which is terrifying.
Right. And so what is it about the resources? Do we know anything about that or no?
No, we don't.
Huh. Interesting. So, Mr. Scratch, he finds this guy, Desmond, who parallels Gabriel's story to some extent. And he's able to then take all of these memories. Didn't you think there were a lot of memories that he transferred? How could he know all that stuff?
Yeah, that was intense, especially the questioning that JJ did, where they kind of went the rapid fire round of, okay,
here's all the questions you should,
what's your middle name? Here's all the questions. Let's get into specific memories. When did this happen? What did you say? What did she say? And he knew it all.
And he never flinched, never paused, never hesitated. Until Luke went and approached him by the elevator. And at that point, he didn't really know who Luke was. And that was a big kind of an opening in the case.
Yes.
Yeah, they saw that. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yes. Well, prior to that, they had come across the house, Carl Brubaker's house, who did not exist.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That was an ID created by Mr. Scratch.
So they were told that Carl Brubaker was the roommate, I think?
He was the roommate who was also lobbying with him to get gambling legalized.
In 50 states.
Which was a very interesting and ambitious goal.
That wasn't just a fake backstory. That was a true story. So that's why Gabriel was in town.
Yes, that's why he was in town. However, Carl Brubaker didn't exist. So they went to the address that they found under the name and found those pictures.
Right. So we have one picture at the age of 15. These are pictures of Gabriel. So the room was set. So I'm taking it that Mr. Scratch is always setting up these elaborate...
10 steps ahead, setting up an elaborate display.
So we got a picture of Gabriel at the age of 15, a picture at the age of 11, and a picture at the age of 32. That's not a natural sequence. So they figured that there's something to be gleaned from the 15, 11, 32, from those specific ages.
Yep.
And we also saw a television set where they're putting the mask on Gabriel. I guess the gas is starting, and Mr. Scratch says, the guy say, Luke, save me. And he says, like, Luke can't save you now.
Yeah, he was shouting Luke over and over,
Luke,
which
Luke.
They first determined must be Luke Alves, the newest member of the BAU. So originally the route of a thought that they were going down was that he was targeting the entire team. And that was a way to acknowledge that they...
We know who your
Scratch
team is,
knows.
Or I know who
yeah,
your team is. Yeah,
exactly. And then that elevator scene that you mentioned where he had no recognition of who Luke was at
right.
all opened up Luke's mind to say, okay, that's not normal. That's not right. Maybe it's not me. What else could it be?
Right. And so it turns out to be Luke from the Bible. Luke chapter 15. What is that? Chapter 15?
Chapter 15, verses 11 to 32.
11 to 32. And which has to do with the story
of the prodigal son.
Do you know that story?
I should, because I went to Catholic school for 18 years, but I got nothing.
I think of the prodigal son. Okay, so prodigal is like a protege, right? It's like somebody who's who is favored or seen as having some sort of a natural advantage, I think.
Yes.
But I don't know the story either.
Yep.
I didn't go to Catholic school, but I knew a lot of Catholic girls.
I have no excuse.
Just kidding.
Other than I just didn't Bible
retain
stories that well.
Really? Did they wrap you on the knuckles when you didn't do things with rulers? And no, you didn't experience any
Luckily,
of that?
I didn't. Yeah.
Really?
No.
Was it a pretty nice place, Catholic school?
Yeah.
Really?
It was good.
Huh. It's one of the, you are the anomaly in terms of what I hear about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
No, I had one friend who had a very, very tough time. He carried stuff with him for the rest of
His
time. Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
He's an actor. He's, his father was very famous actor, actually.
Wow.
Anyway, beyond that. So we've got, where were we?
We were talking about the prodigal son story, which runs parallel, parallel to Tara and Gabriel's life, because
right.
Tara was always the labeled the successful
kind
one,
kind of the favored one,
in the family.
Right.
While Gabriel was kind of the wash up, he got a full ride to Yale and he didn't go. He was just always in a Ponzi scheme of some sort,
right.
I guess, and just wasn't really succeeding at life the way that Tara was.
Right. And so and this was how she knew him going in when she first went to go meet him in the coffee shop. He was kind of the very extremely intelligent kid that just didn't go very far.
Yeah.
And was getting in these get rich quick schemes.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So this prodigal son thing was the theme that surrounded the whole episode and tied it all together.
Yep.
And I guess in I wish I knew the story because I don't really know what it is. Is there the prodigal son that is, the one that's believed to be favored that then is somehow loses that favor, or is it? We just don't know.
We should have looked.
We
it
don't
up.
Know. If you're watching right now and you know the answer, please let us know.
Leave it in the comments.
Teach us
a thing or two
about the Bible.
The Bible.
I mean, shoot, it's the season, right? So it's Christmas season.
Yes.
If you got a good story about the prodigal son, let us know. We'll be evaluating those stories
very closely.
Yes, very closely. So what we find out, though, this is the interesting part, is that there's a reason for the fact that the brother, that Gabriel, didn't go to Yale and didn't go to, didn't he get a full scholarship or something?
He got a full scholarship to Yale.
Full scholarship to Yale, didn't go, right? What's that all about?
On the surface level, it's crazy. When they find out that the man that they're holding downstairs is named Desmond and that he has dissociative identity disorder, Garcia also finds a video of him having a dissociative break when he was, when his therapist was attempting to have him confront his other personalities.
Push too many buttons. And
yes. So they decided after trying to give him nothing he wanted to talk to Tara, they were refusing to let it, that they needed to go in the completely different route where Tara went in and pretended that he was in fact her brother and spoke to him.
Do you think that'd be hard?
I think that would be very hard.
It was kind of interesting, huh? It's like, because she eventually fell into it, but it took her a little while before she was willing to play like that.
I imagine that would be one of the more uncomfortable situations that you could ever be asked to be in, knowing that your real brother is in perilous danger from
right.
a psychopath and having this fake,
you have to play this game.
This fake brother sitting across from you that you have to encourage to continue to pretend to be your brother to get to the bottom of things.
That was quite a fascinating little situation that they created there. And then when he says, I want Dad in here for this conversation, what'd you think about that?
It's one thing to ask a trained professional to handle that type of situation, but then when you bring in a grieving family member, it can go off the rails very quickly.
That could have gone a lot worse than it did.
It could have. It went ultimately very well for this situation. Right? It uncovered an ugly truth that needed to be uncovered in their family. Yeah. But it ultimately helped.
See, I didn't even see how ugly the truth was. I mean, the guy lost his... So the father had lost the wife, and so he was drinking, and he's parading the guns around. I mean, luckily nobody got shot or anything, but... You know, the son was taking care of the father. What's so ugly about that? I mean, he went through some hellish times, you know?
I think the implication of the time is that Gabriel was 17 or 18. Right. He was very young and very impressionable and very dependent on his only remaining parent.
Right.
And his father was...
Falling apart.
Basically falling apart, either carrying the shotgun around as a threat... It was a threat, but whether or not it was to kill himself or to kill both of them, right, or what, you know, that kind of terror put on a younger mind, that's just...
I think it's a stressful moment, but you can't really wrong the father. I mean, it's like, what do? If you can't handle the emotional severity of the situation, and I'm sure that it could be very tough for a lot of people, you know?
Absolutely.
I wouldn't judge him for that personally. I would say, why don't you have your shit together? Would you?
I wouldn't necessarily. I would suggest that the father get help if he's parading around a shotgun and drinking copious amounts of alcohol. But I think it's more.
It's just kind of
asking
sad, right?
The 17-year-old to. He felt the obligation to sacrifice his future and his life to make sure that his father got better and stayed
it's
alive.
Kind of heroic, really.
It is, and that's the. I believe that's the point of the prodigal son story. I think that's how that ends in the Bible,
so
too.
So we thought that the one son that was favored was really the special one, maybe.
But the other one made the bigger sacrifice.
The other one made the biggest sacrifice. Okay, I think we got it. I think that's very heroic of you to come up with a story like that. Just kidding.
Yes.
So he made the big sacrifice. He was there for Dad each step of the way.
And the father... Mr. Lewis made Gabriel promise never to tell Tara so that she could continue on in her education.
He said he ordered him. That was interesting.
That's a burden, too, because then you're keeping that secret for your entire life while you're still trying to maintain a relationship with your sibling.
Who thinks you're a loser, basically.
Yeah.
Right. He was seen as a loser, and he had made this huge sacrifice, and he bore that.
Yep.
He bore the weight of that. Huh. I'm still putting the pieces together myself.
Yes, so that one big family decision led to how they lived their lives
and how they perceived each
other. That moment at the table.
That's fascinating. And so that probably, Desmond did say that when he was playing Gabriel. He said that from that moment, I was never myself.
Yep.
So there's probably a lot of resentment and that type of thing. Although we didn't see that with Gabriel. Do you think that Gabriel was really feeling the levels of resentment that Desmond was portraying, or was that maybe just manipulation on Mr. Scratch's part to push their buttons?
I think those were probably sincere feelings, but he was tied to a BDSM chair with a gun pointed at his head, so I don't think in that moment he would have shown resentment toward his sister.
So, but you think that the real resentment was really there rather than being something that was blown up and manufactured for the sake of the father and the daughter?
At this point, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's like radical therapy to have to go through as a family.
Oh. It's intense.
Yeah. But at least they got everything out. You know, that's got to be therapeutic in and of itself. And, shoot, there's probably forms of therapy where you role play and somebody else plays the role of the person. So, you know, you have to think that in the end it's probably pretty good rather than being just another traumatic spot in their consciousness.
Yeah, and in a weird way, maybe it's easier for Gabriel because his secrets came out through someone else and it's done and they can just move forward.
Right.
I mean, they'll probably want to verify that it was true, but, you know, hug it out first.
Hug it out. So I thought what was kind of interesting was how when Tara went in and she was meeting with Desmond and she was kind of pacing his belief in the situation, in being Gabriel, because of the overlap. And she said, boy, that must have been tough, the being alone there with, you know, losing your mother, the gun. So she's talking about the parallels, and she said, I feel so sad for you, Desmond.
Yep.
Throws in the other name.
Ooh. That was such a good moment. And
just, that was probably the best moment, I think.
It was so powerful and so well done, and just the way that she held on to him and sincerely wanted to help him
right.
have that breakthrough without breaking was just a very powerful scene
to witness. Yeah, it was very, very well done. It was very therapeutic in nature. A lot of real psychological principles that they were using to help to break the trance that he was in. I thought that was kind of cool. You got a psychology background, don't you? Isn't that what you
No, I took two classes. I studied music theater and event coordination.
Well, what good's all that?
Nothing out here. No good out here.
Music theater and event coordination, really?
Yep.
Huh. What types of events did you?
It was at higher It was in higher education, so it focused on events on college
campuses.
Type. Yeah.
Huh, that's cool. Okay, so let's see here. Then we realize that Mr. Scratch has the real Gabriel, and they surprise him. They find where he is. And I'm trying to remember, how did they put together the connections on in terms of where he was? Was it the rope?
It was. So when Desmond recalled who he actually was and recalled the situation, I just want to give a shout out to that actor too. His first name is Alimi. I forget his last name. Alimi. He just the switch that he had with the rocking and the complete change in tone. It was phenomenal, but he was forced to memorize the address that he was being held at because he was sent to pick up the packages.
To pick up something for... Oh, they were the packages that they were making because
we
did have that one break where they went and they found the people that were practicing S&M.
Oh, that was so awkward.
Yeah.
That poor little girl.
Little Hannah was there. Her parents were in the bedroom. The FBI shows up and they're in there tied up in all sorts of bondage... materials, and apparently the father built or constructed or put together or sold to Mr. Scratch this S&M based device.
Yeah, a vice chair.
A vice chair of some sort.
Yeah.
That he was keeping the real Gabriel entrapped within, and then we get to discover what that's more about afterwards. But we get the address from Desmond.
Yes. And then they run there and they find the trigger boxes. I don't know what
they're
actually
called. The real Gabriel. They get there. Gabriel's sitting in a chair. He's tied up. He's got rope all over him. He's got, I think was he gagged?
He had duct tape on his mouth and he was on a pressure pad.
Sitting on a pressure pad with his guns, with his father's gun, which is one of the packages, aimed at his head on a tripwire where if the pressure moves on the plate, it's going to pull the trigger and it's going to blow his brains out, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Over to you.
It's intense.
It's intense.
It's one of those, it's kind of on par. I'm trying to think of another example. When Prentice had to save JJ's husband, who had a bomb strapped to his chest, it was that kind of tense.
Right.
Because he was fidgeting. He was understandably anxious and terrified. And he was seeing his sister and who knows what he was thinking? Who knows what the drugs were doing? They did it very well. But he wanted to get out, so any slight shift in movement could cause the trigger.
And we saw the trigger going in. And I don't know, have you ever fired a gun?
Yes.
Some of them are very hair trigger, right? Where it's just like you just pull it a little bit,
and it'll go.
Yeah, and it goes, and you see it just squeezing in slowly.
Yep.
Yeah. I felt the tension.
I felt tense, and then Tara did just the most fantastic sisterly thing ever, where
she jumps in front of the gun.
Yep. Yeah. And I was like, I know you're wearing a bulletproof vest, but you're still at point-blank range. That's going to...
The bulletproof vest, at least that would stop it from going through him, maybe.
Yes.
Right? Because, you get a point. I didn't even think about the bulletproof vest. I just thought, they're both going to die.
There was a chance that she might die or get seriously wounded.
Right. And so she jumped in front of it. Would you do that?
For my brothers?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a Christmas season.
If they were in that type of situation, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Just right in there.
Yep.
Good. You're heroic. You're like this episode. You're the prodigal son.
I think that's the
best. That's the
good
right
one,
thing though. To do. That's the human thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's
not
just,
prodigal
yeah.
son. I'm just doing it. So she jumps in front, but then they realize that it's a decoy. It's not the real trap.
Yep.
This is very complex.
It's elaborate. It's a giant mouse trap.
Yeah. See, I didn't. I remember what I, because essentially what happens then is we get a roll down poster that says Exodus something. It's another Bible verse about flies that take. Do you remember what the verse was?
Yep, Exodus 8:24.
Wow. Do you remember what it was?
One of the plagues of Egypt, the flies swarming down.
So they've got these contraptions up above in the room, and you don't really know what's going to happen. Is it going to be gas? Is it going to be flies? I mean, God knows what's going to come out. But then they start throwing it. So it's like these big nail guns or something. And then all these nails start coming down. They were able to dive out of the way. But I remember just thinking, really? You know, this kind of stretched my imagination a little bit. Like, I don't think the FBI really sees stuff like this, you know? So it's, do you?
I think for the, again, you should definitely rewatch, and I'm going to rewatch it too, the very first Mr. Scratch, because it'll make a lot of sense. Just with how his mind works. But it makes sense to me especially if you're in hiding and you need to get materials and not raise suspicion.
What makes sense?
Nails.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you're saying that that's kind of the MO, is that he's always got to come up with things that aren't going to be...
Well, and I've watched other cop shows where a nail gun is used as a weapon. So for me, it's just kind of, it's like,
nail
that's
gun,
a reasonable
but, I mean, these
thing.
Are like
but
huge
that's like a
nail
nail
gun
missile
rocket
launcher.
Right, yeah.
That's a little elaborate to build, but that doesn't surprise me with
really?
Peter Lewis, a.k.a. Mr. Scratch.
Mr. Scratch. Yeah. I'm going to have to watch this first episode because it's I thought, okay, that's a little bit much for me. I don't know if that would really happen in real life, but I still... You know, I still enjoyed the episode. I mean, I like the psychology behind it, and especially the brainwashing of these people that were prime targets for the brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
What did you like most about the episode?
Overall, I loved finally getting to know Tara better. Aisha Tyler was originally just signed on for 6 episodes last season, and then they made her a series regular this season. So all season long, I've been wondering when we would get to know her better, because obviously with... Luke Alves joining the team, we got his backstory and we got to know him right away, but I wanted more on Tara. So now we know more about her and we feel more connected to her. And I think that that's really great. And I can't wait to see where they go moving forward with her family dynamic.
Yeah, that was neat. The dad, the brother, they're all really good characters. Yeah. You almost wish that Desmond could keep going on playing the brother because he had such a big role.
Or that they just adopt him into his family.
Yeah, come on in. any final thoughts? We have a little shorter show here today.
We do. I just want to give a couple fun facts that I learned from CBS.com about this episode. That nail gun grenade launcher type thing was all computer generated.
Okay.
It looked super realistic to me, so that was very well done. And then Joe Mantegna, Rossi, directed this episode.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Ah, that's awesome.
So that's very cool. I love that the cast also, him and Matthew Gray Gubler, have each directed a couple episodes. I think a couple more probably directed.
It's kind
like,
of a
it's
fun
just so
playground
great
where you get
how
to grow.
Involved they are and how much they. How well they mesh together as a team.
Yeah, I like to see that on shows where they enable the cast to do that because it's, you know, it's, you get to learn, you get to grow while you're working. I think that's a really good practice, and they end up putting out some good work too.
They
do. That's good. Yeah, I mean it was a good episode.
Yes,
I enjoyed it. Yeah. All right, cool. Anything else you'd like to say here as we wrap?
Nope. We will see you next week for the mid-season finale.
It is the mid-season finale, so it's coming up, and then we take we're going to take a little break for the holidays, and we'll come back in January or February, you think?
One of those two.
One of those two, so pick one. and with that, where can people reach you? Where can they reach out to you?
You can find me on Twitter at @Michelle_Cullen.
All right, and you can find me, and she's not the vampire.
I'm not the vampire.
The Cullens, yeah.
If not you're, part
people, of that. I don't think your generation even knows Twilight, which is really scary.
My little brother got it worse than me, that's for sure.
Okay, good. I'm Chris Howard. Reach out to me at Chris Howard Live on Twitter and Instagram. And also make sure to download our podcast. You can find that on iTunes for the Criminal Minds podcast. We have our normal host, Marissa. She's out in Canada. She'll be joining us again next week. So you want to stay tuned for that. Come back and join us. And with that, we'll say over and out, and see you next week. Ciao.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Hughes, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.